to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're alive, that you're the King, that you're the faithful one, that you're coming again in great glory. We thank you, God, for this season of Advent, where we remember your first coming, and we look forward to your second coming. We thank you that you are faithful and true, that every promise in your word is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We thank you for these very great and these precious promises that we can stand on when all else is sinking sand, that we can stand on you, that you are a firm rock, and we bless you, and we honor you, and we praise you. God, we thank you for the testimonies this morning of my cousin, that you have healed the shattered bones in his feet. But thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Michael, for a salvation that he's been praying for years. And Lord, many of us have family members that we've been praying for, interceding for years. And Lord, I thank you for that testimony. And we say, do it again. Do it again. And the family members that we know and love that are trapped in sin and addiction and death and disease, and they need you. Jesus, open their eyes. Bring them out of the pit. And Lord, we ask you for salvation for them in Jesus' name. We pray for Mandan this morning. We pray you would protect him and you would bring him out, God, that he would have hope, that he would have eyes to see you. Jesus, you would enter in and he would encounter you. We pray life over Mandan in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for that baby, Beckett. God, we thank you for that little baby's alive, 2 pounds. We speak life over Beckett in Jesus' name, that baby would live and not die. We speak just mercy over that baby. God, we pray for Martha Dean. She needs a touch from you. And Lord, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you just come. I just pray soothing over Martha. Speak peace over Martha in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Marianne. Lord, I ask you to sing over her with songs of deliverance. Holy Spirit, come. You just speak peace over her mind in Jesus' name. Healing to come. Pray for lucid moments for Marianne in Jesus' name. And God, that you would bless her. Peace on her heart, God. Peace on those kidneys. Healing on her, God. Just ask mercy. Mercy on Marianne. We pray, Father, for Eleanor's friend, Willa, who needs a touch from you. God, there's something going on. But Lord, we thank you that you are the great physician and the healer. We pray you would come right now. And we just speak strength and mercy to Willa in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, you're good. You are good. And every single one of us in here has a story. And Lord, we can look back and say, Lord, you've been faithful thus far. And Lord, the psalmist says, as for me, I will always have hope, and I will praise you more and more. And Lord, I pray that you would put that in us. We can't conjure that up in our own. And Lord, I pray we would have that kind of heart, that as for me, I will always have hope. And I will praise you, Lord. Pray, God, you would continue to give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. Father, we ask your mercy to be upon our nation. God, mercy, mercy, mercy. Fear, God, we ask for mercy. I pray courage and boldness for your people, God, that we would be wise as serpents and gentle as doves in these days. We would have courage and boldness married with love. Fill us, God. We honor you. You are holy and you are worthy. Holy, worthy. We honor you. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Mm-hmm. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pray you bless these offerings, God, and you bless the givers. God, we thank you for just faithful givers. Mm-hmm. Lord, during this whole COVID thing, Lord, just the faithful givers. And Lord, I pray you would just bless them with joy and abundance. Offer these offerings up to you as worship is unto you, for you are the worthy one. In Jesus' name, amen. Our, it's not most of the times prayer meetings were, you know, there might be one man there, and there would be about eight women, and that's changing. And God's raising up intercessors and watchmen. Jeremy's one of them. Michael's another one of them. And prayer meetings are not just for gray-haired old ladies. And so I had the honor and privilege of praying with Michael. He prayed for all of the counties in Southern Illinois. Would go one by one by one by one to each county, and we prayed. And I didn't go. I probably went to only two or three. But he did that this past spring or summer. So I'm really thankful he has a word for us this morning, and I'm really honored and privileged that Michael would come to share.
Amen. This is really an honor. I've been, you know, what I was thinking during worship was I've traveled all over the world, and I've gotten to do this thing that Jesus lets me do, which is to go and preach the word. And no matter where I go, the churches look different. The people may be different. They may have a different job, but what we have in common is Jesus. And Jesus is the same everywhere we go. Amen. And she was going to give me that ear mic thing, but I'm not very used to those. I'm used to having one of these, so you'll have to forgive me. I have to turn pages, and I can't use both my hands. So, but what we're going to talk about today, actually, before I get into even the topic, we're going to read a couple of scriptures. So first of all, and this is really interesting because a couple of the verses that were just read were literally the same verses that I'm going to talk about. And I didn't tell her that. So that Holy Spirit is doing something today. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. Now I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I read several different Bibles and I rotate them. And I was on the New American Standard and I switched back to this one. So it's going to sound a tad bit different than what you're used to. But same scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 18 and 19. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Now this morning, I kind of had it on my heart this last week. I kind of felt like I knew where I was going to go. And I had a particular kind of message. And one of my life messages is I want everybody to know and understand in a real way in their own hearts. Because we see stained glass windows and we hear about Jesus and he lived 2,000 years ago. And if we're honest, even though we believe it by faith, it's awfully far removed from us. And I want to come to a place where I personally know and I communicate to others that God is not an energy force. He's not something. It is the Father is a person. Jesus is a person. Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, because that makes him like the Mandalorian or like the Batman. Those are fictional characters. But Holy Spirit is a person. They are personal. And I think God is my friend. I think it is just as possible for me to know God as a friend as he did for Abraham. He wouldn't have given us the Bible as our roadmap if it was not possible. And so this morning, you know, when you preach out of 2 Corinthians 5, you typically preach the ministry of reconciliation. That's when people don't know Jesus Christ and they're being reconciled to God. That's what he says here. But as I was praying the other day and I was walking at a park, and I believe the Lord changed it. I believe the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, "I want you to change this." And so my message today is called Forgiveness, the Ministry of Reconciliation to the Church. See, because reconciliation isn't just reconciliation between us and God, but every one of us in this room has been hurt. We've hurt someone else, or someone has hurt us. And reconciliation is to each other. So next, I'm literally going to read the same scripture that you guys just read on the screen, because that's what's next in my notes right here, that I did not show her. Hebrews, we're going to go to Hebrews 12, 14 to 16. It's a repeat, but this seems to be what the Lord wants to talk about today, so we're going to read it again. So, Hebrews 12, 14 to 16. Okay. "Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. So we need each other to actually receive the grace of God because God's love flows through us. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I don't want to read 16. We don't need to get into Esau. But a poisonous root of bitterness can grow up. So unforgiveness and these issues of our hearts, if we don't deal with them, it can actually become a root. You know, a tree outside, why is it I can get down on the ground and I can pluck a weed with my hand? We all weed our gardens, right? But I don't think me and April are going to go outside and just rip up an oak tree. It has very deep roots. And we can create strongholds of good things like love, like of grace. Or we can create strongholds of things like unforgiveness and bitterness. So he's saying, he's cautioning us here, he or she, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, whoever wrote it. Whoever wrote that is cautioning us to be careful about our hearts. Because whenever something becomes a layered, it all of a sudden it becomes a foundational thing in our lives and becomes a stronghold. So now we're going to go to the Lord's Prayer. I'm really going to hone in here. Matthew chapter 6. See, once again, I have no idea you're going to read from that because I go to a different church. But honestly, it's right here in my notes. It says hone in on Matthew 6, 9-15. Right there. So my translation sounds a little different, but it's the same thing. It says, pray like this. This is Jesus speaking, of course. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And then oftentimes we will, and then I think the old King James says, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. And that's where we stop. But that's not where Jesus stopped. So out of this prayer, Jesus talks about the Father who is in heaven. The Father is holy. He needs to be kept holy. We're asking for his kingdom to come and for the will, the character, the nature of God to be manifest on the earth, to be a reality. For the people that don't know Jesus to see something of Jesus in us. He doesn't mention that either. He says, give us today the food we need. Well, my goodness gracious, there's people all over the world who don't have enough food. He doesn't mention that either. But what he does mention is forgiveness. Verse 14, he says, self-hatred because of what we've done, because of what's happened to us that we've done to other people. We actually have had unforgiveness in our hearts against ourselves. It's kind of a radical thing. But God our Father will forgive us. And now, beloved, some of you need to forgive yourself. I truly believe that why would the Lord take me from here, and would he completely redirect me? It's because someone in this room either has been hurt and needs to forgive, they need to forgive themselves. There's a reason. The Holy Spirit doesn't redirect someone unless there's a reason. And there's a reason today. And I want to tell you a little bit of my own story to let you understand that I have had to walk this out. And so, I'd like to talk a bit about those that I've had to forgive, and specifically my father. So here's an interesting one. My father's name is Gary Evans. His name is on this Bible. I don't think he ever read it once. I bought this for him as he was dying of an incurable disease. And he had a lot of bitterness in his life, actually. And my dad, you know, one thing I like to say to people is that no one in this world is the sum of the greatest thing they've ever done or the worst thing they've ever done. We're not on this pew or this pew. We're all somewhere here in the middle. We all need the grace of God. All of us are not perfect and all of us are not imperfect. We're somewhere in the middle. We're all somewhere in that middle place. And with my father, you know, growing up, he was successful and he was a person who came out of a lot of poverty, and he esteemed to be something more in life. He wanted something more than what he found in Monee, Illinois, and this little backwater town, literally by the river. And he took out a loan, and he was able to obtain his first oil well, and he began to accrue for himself things on the earth. It reminds me of Luke 12. Man was boasting and said that I'll tear down my barns and I will build bigger barns. And the Lord said, actually, tonight you're going to come and you're going to leave this world and come to me, and what you're doing is foolish. And so I saw that in a lot of ways. My dad was doing what he thought the world told him he needed to do. And a lot of times over the years, because of his desire to do what, to be honest, I think he was trying to do the right thing. He just didn't know the Lord in a real way. He didn't know a better. And I'm a very tender-hearted, I'm a different kind of person. I have worked many, I guess you could call manly labor kind of jobs, but I'm not very skilled necessarily in certain things. And he would come down very harshly on me because of that. And he would drink heavily, and he would lash out at me and humiliate me in front of my friends, kick them all out of the house and everything. Now, most of the world didn't know this because my father had become this big success. And in America, if you have money, well, you can insulate yourself. And if nobody knows, then it looks like you're an absolute success. But he was crushing his children. And so a lot of these things happened. And then what a beautiful thing happened to me. So, yes, I met the Lord in 1997. But I didn't actually start following Jesus in a real way, like I told you, like he's a person, until July the 28th, 2013. And I don't want to get into my whole testimony, but I found the Lord in a real way, and it really has completely and totally changed my life. Why do I do ministry? I believe I'm called into it, but I also want to do it. I actually asked the Lord, can I work for you, please? This is the only thing that has ever given me drive. Now, I like to do other things. I've been a teacher. I have several college degrees. I could do other things. But what I'm giving to people, I know is eternal. And I'm getting to carry something. And in this story, what God has given me has helped me to overcome it. And I had never seen these verses. I did not know that if I had not forgiven my father, I wouldn't be forgiven. If I actually harbored that resentment against him. And so what ended up happening is when I found the Lord, a couple of years later, my dad's new business, which was multi-million dollars at this point, started having some problems. And without getting into much detail. My father visited a hospital for a certain procedure he needed to have done, which was really pretty routine. But he acquired an infection from the OR. And so he wasn't able to be the self-made man anymore. My father was very humbled. He had to go home, and he wasn't really able to work. And he was, you know, in and out of surgeries. And I had to spend an entire month of Bible school. I had to get permission from the leaders to go to Denver, Colorado, to be with him in the hospital, to just sign power of attorney papers or whatever. And I had to do my finals. I had an Old Testament survey. I remember it was one of them. It was a very detailed class, and I had to take it in the hospital in Aurora, Colorado, in the University of Colorado Hospital. But through this process, you see, God actually started to reveal himself to me when I would read the scriptures and when I would pray. And these things that were such large strongholds, I mean, the ways he spoke to me, the things he did to me, the way he used money as a tool to control me, and he would give things but then use that as this leverage. So a lot of those things that my father began to break down. Now, not every rough edge was smoothed. He still had him. But the Lord began to show me who he was. In the last 5 years of his life, I got to spend more time with him than I'd spent since probably 1991 when I was 8 years old. And beloved, there is a beautiful thing about when we choose to forgive. You know, when we were lost all the way back when Adam and Eve sinned, God desired us so much that he set in motion a plan where he changed everything and said, okay, everything about Jesus coming was how bad he desired us. And the reality is, it says that in Ephesians 3:10, it says that the manifold wisdom of God is revealed through the church, meaning that when we're in unity and we're actually operating in love, we're actually operating in the character and nature that Jesus paid for, that the wisdom of God is actually revealed to the heavens. And something as simple as forgiveness can be a powerful thing. And so now I can talk about my dad. I'm telling you, for years when I would talk about him, I would feel this thing rise up in anger. My blood pressure is not rising. I don't feel any resentment. And I know the things the man did wrong. But the Lord truly has helped me to forgive him. And because of that, I've been able to forgive the couple of bullies in high school who ruined an entire year of my life, and I could not get a date to the junior prom because of the things they said about me. All of you have been to high school. You know what I'm talking about. People can be cruel. But I have no resentment when I talk about Josh anymore. It doesn't come up. And it's because the hardest things to do with God are possible. God is a God of the impossible. And so this isn't a message where I could get up here. I'm a pretty good speaker. I could get up here and I could rile you up and we could charge down the road and go take the world for Jesus. I'm all about that, actually. I've been to, I've been out of the country 4 times. I've been able to go all over the country doing this stuff. But I truly believed today that he wanted to talk about the ministry of reconciliation to the church. And the reason I feel at home is because, honestly, the way you do worship is different than I do. We don't have a beautiful piano in our sanctuary. A lot of times we don't have a worship person at all in our church. We're a very small group of people. I've went to Africa, and there, they want me to dance and things, which isn't necessarily what I'm comfortable with in front of strangers. Now, I'll dance whenever y'all aren't around, but not necessarily when I just met you. And the Lord has shown me the beauty of the church. And the reason he wants us to reconcile is because this is how, there's something about forgiveness. Now, he doesn't quite even break it down here. All I know is that the Word of God says that we have to forgive each other as we were forgiven. And we do know that the Lord is returning for a bride. Now, a bride that's unified. And it doesn't mean that we all have to go across the street to be unified and then leave the Methodist church empty and go to the Baptist church. But it does mean when we see them, we have to love them, even though they disagree. My guess is their eschatology doesn't line up with mine. But how about I not talk about that? How about we argue about the rest of it. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter, but we have to, if love is the end goal, and if we get to heaven, Jesus is probably going to say something like, did you learn to love? Because Jesus himself was the greatest of all. He came to the earth, emptied himself of many things, and he said the greatest among you is a servant of all. He washed the feet of Judas. Think about this. He washed the feet of the person he knew was going to betray him. And we will hold each other in contempt over $5 or one word spoken. And see, the enemy has been stripped of many things, but one thing he still has is the ability to whisper and lie. And so how he divides the church is he goes to this brother here and says, you know, Pastor April, she just this and that. And he'll just say it and say it and say it and try to get you to agree with it. And when you agree with it, then you tell five other people and all of a sudden there's a rift. It may not even be true. And then he keeps us from going to each other and reconciling. And I had so many of those things with my father where I could have, and I mean, they were facts. But love is greater than facts. Love is truth. Truth is always greater than facts. The facts still say the things he did wrong. I've heard things he did to my mother. I'm like, my goodness. And that doesn't make it right. But what it does is it shows me through the word that really this gospel we've been given is bigger than that. It doesn't make it okay. But he's gone. My father died last year, May 29th. That's one of the reasons I read this Bible. It's because he never read it, and now I want to read it. So he can't be here to do that. But I can. I can forgive. I don't know how many years I have on this earth, but whenever I go back to Mexico or I go back to Africa or New York or anywhere else I've went, I want to take this gospel in a pure way. And I don't care if I'm the best preacher. I don't care if I'm the most anointed preacher. Things like love and forgiveness, you have no idea how much this means to him. It's dividing our world. It's destroying us. Mass vaccines. My goodness. I can sit here, and I'm sure we can find something we disagree about. I guarantee you. Why don't we quit focusing on that? You know? Instead, how about I come to your house, one of you in here, I bet somebody in here has back pain. Why don't I come to your house and rake your leaves? Why don't I come and bring you food if I know that your spouse is sick? I mean, the smallest things can do the greatest impact in the kingdom. And I want to see miracles and all, I mean, the things we talked about, people getting healed, man, I want that. But not forsaking love and forgiveness. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I'm not preaching that. Nothing Jesus ever says is condemning. You got to realize that. Like, have you ever read John 3 and you feel like Nicodemus is kind of being snarky with Jesus, but then you watch The Chosen television show and you think that's probably more like it. He's the only Pharisee that came to him. Yeah, he came by night, but he came to him and was humble enough. And I don't think Jesus is being condemning. Father is not sitting up in heaven waiting to smash you. He's giving you this because he wants you to change. He wants to have a relationship. He wants us to get there. Why do you think these people died to print this word of God? You know what they had to go through to get this? And so now I'm just going on and on. But I want to reiterate the four kinds of forgiveness and then I'm going to close. I didn't want to go very long today. This isn't about a long message. This is about, I really felt like this is what Holy Spirit wanted to talk about. So we have to forgive those who have hurt us, one. We have to ask forgiveness from those we've hurt, that's two. We have to break agreement in our hearts for where we've harbored resentment towards God because of things that have happened. We actually have resentment and unforgiveness towards God himself. And we have to forgive ourselves. A lot of times we carry that around. Unforgiveness against ourselves. If God the Father forgives us, beloved, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to be willing to forgive ourselves. So I don't know who you are out there who needed to hear this. But today, as Jeremy plays, and I don't even know what the order is. I'm so out of my element here. I apologize. But I just know whether you sit in your seat and you quietly deal with the Lord in your Baptist church with another Baptist. For me to get a young man today who hasn't showered in 2 weeks because he's living in a really bad situation and they don't even have a shower in this place, and I'm going to get him and bring him, and then that young man I talked about who I've known for 20 years who just came to the Lord, I'm going to have to take him home tonight. Why would I do those things? It's because it matters. If all I do is bring them and I bring them in and they encounter the Lord and they get this forgiveness that we're talking about today, man, that's all that matters. And we have the answer. You really do have the answer. And it's not going to look like everybody else. I wish we were all Charles Finney or John Wesley or, you know, one of these guys. I do. But maybe you're not. Maybe God created you in a specific way, and the way in which you can communicate to somebody, so I want us, as he plays, I want us to just reflect on this idea of forgiveness, of reconciliation between the church and between, not even, it doesn't just have to be saved people. It's anybody in the world we have things against. I know a couple people right now that I wish to reconcile with. My father died, his family, I'm still trying to mend those bridges, and I don't know how. Most of them don't know the Lord, and they're very hateful and cruel to me. And but the second there's an open door, you better believe I'm going to be the one to do it. And I don't care if I have to die to self. Jesus says every day we're to die to ourselves. Take up the cross and follow him. He would have done it. And so let us just think about this today. Let us think about us being, I guess you'd say in our modern language, being the bigger person. Us being the humble person and being willing to do it. Because at the end of the day, I promise you, when we all stand before him, we're not going to wish that we stood our ground and stood up in our pride. We're going to wish that we'd went to the person next door. Because I promise you, when they pass away, they're not there anymore. I mean, I'm sad my dad's gone, but I'm so glad that we were able to mend that. And because of COVID, I was never even able to go in and see him. I was never able to go in the room. I was in Kansas City in line at Lowe's getting a key made when he died. So I understand pain. That hurts so much. But I have the peace knowing that I reconciled with him. That he's in heaven right now and he knows I love him. So please, if you've got anything against anybody, don't let the sun go down on your anger again. Please. God wouldn't have me talk. I mean, I'm a man of prayer. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit gives me things and sends me to churches to speak them. I wouldn't be talking about this. Honestly, I have no reason to get up here and speak unless it's for a reason. My goodness, you could go on YouTube and listen to the best preachers in the world. Go listen to Billy Graham. He's way better than me. I believe I'm here because this is what the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to the First United Methodist Church in Duke, Illinois, which is made up of men and women. Y'all. That's all I got. Thank you. you taught us how to pray. You'd help us to forgive whenever everything in the world seems, it just seems irrational, when they don't even deserve it. You'd remind us that when they were nailing you to a cross, into actual arms, you said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Lord, let us have mercy on a dying world. Help us, forgive us, Lord, for getting so caught up in politics and policies and our own opinions and sports and everything else that matter, but not as much as it matters that we follow your word. As we leave here today, Lord, help us to shine your light in whatever way you made us to do, Lord. Let us be okay with not looking like someone else, Father. Remove our bitterness. Rip the roots out of our hearts, Lord. And let us reflect your glory.